This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. We still have one of those fantabulous Tolo whiskey extravaganzas with the decanter, with a couple of Tolo etched glasses to give away. You gotta be here at the Taco Bueno, 1419 North Collins Street in Arlington. In about 30 minutes, we'll have Athena up here as well. And right now, we're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality?
Yep.
Corey, that's not.
Right.
I didn't get a chance.
It's been a year since.
Okay. It's been. Shut up. Except for the part I need you to talk. I haven't had a chance to talk about this with you. Overreaction or reality? You would want the Cowboys to trade for Max Crosby. You would inherit a two-year, $60.5 million deal.
Well, I'm glad we're here at Bueno to talk about this. But, Kevin,
all right. They are the betting favorites if Max Crosby's on the move. I understood your Taco Bell.
No, the if you can figure out a way to manipulate that money, then let's have a conversation.
Okay.
Because we did that. We manipulated some money, and now we're starting to see it take place. The way the Cowboys are worked with Trayvon Diggs and now what they do in the future. We went through that before the break. The player himself, to have that on the field, that's one step, but that's not enough.
Right.
You know, like even Jerry was talking about that. One player can get hurt. And then, you know, what do you have? You need to stack this team with lots of different positions. I don't know if they have the assets to do that right now. That's future assets that they're having to deal with because they don't even have the assets right now for this draft.
Right.
That you really want them to have. But
outside of the two first, yeah.
How much is that going to cost you? Like draft-wise, draft capital, that's going to cost you a couple of firsts.
Yeah.
So as much as I would like to have the player, it's just, as he said about Micah, that's just too rich for them. So
NFL overreaction or reality, Kyle Shanahan and not Mike Vrabel should be the NFL coach of the year.
Ooh.
Those are the top two. Again, goes back to the odds. Vrabel is the favorite, but it is kind of close.
Sean Payton, is he even in the conversation?
I do not have Sean Payton in the top five of my odds, but I will note that who you pass right over is Mike McDonald from the Seattle Seahawks because nobody continues to care about them whatsoever. Liam Cohen is fourth and Ben Johnson is fifth.
Okay. Shanahan should definitely be in the conversation for what that they've accomplished this year with all the injuries that they had. But I think Vrabel is at the top of that list for me for sure.
Okay. All right. NFL overreaction or reality, the NFC South champion will lose their first round home playoff game. I don't care who it is. I don't care who they're playing.
I need to know who they're playing.
You don't get to know who they're playing.
I have to know.
You don't get to know who it's going to be.
Because didn't they beat the Rams? They've had these games.
Look,
where you're
man,
just like,
Carolina's a weird team. If they win, they've beaten teams that I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then look terrible.
Like the Cowboys. I get it.
That one's less.
You were more concerned about the Cowboys in that one.
You have to make a pick.
I think they're going to win their first round.
What?
Yeah, I think no matter who it is.
Okay.
You could give me the 92 Cowboys if you want to.
Oh, that they would not win that game.
You don't know that.
I mean, that's true. If you mean like they all have to play now at their current age, then maybe I think they would win. All right, Dylan, I'm going to see if you'll back Corey up on this. Overreaction reality, the NFC South champion will lose its first round home playoff game.
I'm going to go reality. The NFC South is just not good. I don't know how else to say it.
No, that's a good way to say it.
If they could all miss the playoffs, they would.
See, but my dream scenario is still alive.
They all make the playoffs?
No, that cannot happen.
It's only an NFC South playoff?
Okay. Look, would I kind of watch that? Maybe. So if the Falcons win and the Bucks win and the Panthers lose, which the Bucks and Panthers play each other, so that could definitely happen. It would be a three-way tie at 8-9, and that would put the Carolina Panthers into the playoffs with a losing record. So
awesome.
We got the only way it doesn't end like that, if the Panthers win, then we'll see. All right, overreaction or reality? Now, I thought about this a lot, and I decided to check the numbers to back this up.
All right.
The Lions' Super Bowl window is closed. Here's why I say that, because I know they still have immense amounts of talent. This was essentially the last year of cheap Jared Goff. So after this year, his cap hits jumped to $69, $54, and $61 million. It is true you could work on an eventual extension to change those numbers, but one of the advantages that the Lions have had is they made a smart decision and took a shot on Jared Goff, and he has played exceedingly well for them given the price tag.
Yeah, I think one of the other things too, Kevin, is that once you start trying to reinvent your offensive line because of age, injuries,
right,
and stuff like that, you start to run into problems. And I wanted to make sure that I'm right on that, because they lost some last year. And then this year, they're going to go through the same thing. And when you start doing that, you start running into, how do we protect the same guy? It's not the same group that we have. Sure, we have the skill position players out there, but we've seen the Cowboys have to go through that and say, all right, we're going to go draft a guard now. And when you could be drafting something else that helps out even more. And they benefited because they made some really bold moves. The Lions did bold moves to build that team with their other players so that they had the draft picks to do it. Just
right,
like you were suggesting to Jerry, and he was like, what are you talking about?
Who was proven right on that?
I liked though when he goes, whoops, about the defense.
That was my favorite. Like, I know people get irritated the way Jerry answers questions, and I hear you. I gave a chess analogy where I wish I was like, nope, your time for that answer is up. But when he just goes, yeah, we'd be good on defense. Whoops. I did think.
But that's what I think you're on to something. The skill position players are there. They still are dangerous offensively, but as they're trying to add to that defense to make it a legit contender defense, they're going to have to also do some things with that offensive line that are a struggle.
NFL overreaction or reality? You would prefer if Joe Milton started and played the whole game on Sunday. I realize that's not how it's going to go, but my overreaction or reality is you would prefer if it was.
It's so dumb. I kind of want Dak to have the record. I know, it's so dumb. I kind of want him, because no Cowboys quarterback's ever done this.
Right.
Not the great Roger Staubach,
yeah.
Don Meredith, Steve Pallure, Danny White.
Steve Walsh, man.
Clint Sterner.
Really tough day for Troy Aikman.
Ryan Leaf. Troy, yeah, the great Troy Aikman.
Quincy Carter.
Mm. None of those guys have ever led it in passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Joe Milton.
So you want this game to maybe be close so he has to fire up like 375 yards and
kinda,
you're like, yes.
Yeah, I okay, kind of want him to have that opportunity.
Man, I learned a
Matt
lot.
Matt Castle, you know.
Stop naming Cowboys quarterback.
So I kind of want that, but I also really want to watch a Joe Milton game. Joe
okay,
Milton games are fun.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. Maybe he has to adjust his chin strap while he's running from a tackle or something.
Is it because there's a tiny part of you that thinks he could connect on a pass so close that someone's thumb will fly
off?
Dude,
I thought I saw him throw a 100-yard football in one of those games recently, off of 1 foot running right. I was like,
right,
did that go 100 yards? And then he, again, was adjusting his chin strap while he was trying to run.
NFL overreaction or reality? Both. Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh are coaching for their jobs on Sunday night.
You think? I don't.
I think it's possible.
I don't think that Tomlin, they're going to move on from him.
Okay.
I think that they're going to go, yeah, Aaron Rodgers stunk. Sorry, you win, Mike Tomlin. We're not going to Robert Saleh you. So I think that they stick with him. Harbaugh's a different story, though. He's built something special there. But it has not worked out whenever they don't have Lamar on the field.
And he says he's good to go for Sunday for whatever it's worth.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is like, all right, so if you're a good coach and you don't have that guy on the field, can you still coach wins? And that's been a struggle sometimes for them.
Now, no thank you to all the people texting in other quarterbacks. But, Dylan, I'm going to get your take on this as well. Overreaction or reality, both Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh are coaching for their jobs on Sunday night.
I'm going to go overreaction. I think Harbaugh is. I don't think Tomlin is.
Okay.
The Steelers, they seem to be content with having a winning record every year for the past 20 years.
Right.
That's kind of what they've done. And, again, he's pretty much at a 500 record yet again. So I don't see why they would want to – I mean, they should. I don't think they will.
Well, we heard earlier today that 8-8-1 is a positive record.
I have heard that. Drew Bledsoe.
Stop Vinny it. Testaverde. Stop texting names into him.
Trey Lance didn't even get enough opportunities. But you're right, Trey Lance. Steve DeBerg.
Drew Henson. Get the F out of here.
That's what? True. Chad Hutchins assistant.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I hate you guys.
John Kitna, Brandon Weeden.
Stop
remember
it.
When Brandon
Stop
Weeden.
It. Yes, I remember when we tried to record the exact same interview with Brandon Weeden twice, and then we ended up still losing in a training camp because of technical difficulties, and he gave us the most insightful answer in the history of radio about getting trapped under the American flag, and we lost it not once but twice. Is that your question? Yes, I remember that.
I was just going to – you remember how nice he was to sit around. That was what I was going to ask. But, yeah, that did happen.
You know what? Sure. He's not kidding about this. This is 100% a true story. We get, like, 7 minutes into the interview, maybe 8, 9, and we keep getting phone calls, and it's like, hey, we had an issue at the studio. We didn't get any of that. And so we just, like, hold on, Brandon. And we go, look, here's the deal. We didn't get any of that recorded, apparently. Can we redo this entire thing and ask you the same question?
He didn't hesitate.
Yeah, he's like, sounds
sure,
good.
Saturday, I got nothing going on.
Yeah. And then we did the whole effing interview again. It was like 15 or 20
minutes. Probably better that time.
Yeah.
Probably better that time.
And then we finished. We're like, okay, that worked out. And they go, all right, guys, bad news. We didn't get any of that. And then there was a lot of loud swearing.
Mm-hmm. Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. Next one.
NFL.
Overreaction or reality?
NFL overreaction or reality. Mike McDaniel has taken himself off the hot seat. 5-2 in their last 7 games. Let's talk about it.
I don't know if he ever actually was on the hot seat, Kevin. At this point, I think he pretty much had it locked up with the owner. He was just like, look, this GM's the problem. And the owner was like, you're right.
Man, you do have to feel pretty confident if you and your GM are butting heads and they're like, hey, GM, hit the road. Coach, you get to stay for the rest of the year. Yeah, Mike McDaniel and Quinn Ewers are making it happen.
Yeah, unless they draft another quarterback. Then they're like, you know what? We need to fill the room up.
I mean, okay.
You remember when the Cowboys drafted Troy Aikman and then they said, you know what? We're going to draft another one.
Okay. I think that gets under-publicized in NFL history. The Dallas Cowboys in 1989 had the number one pick in the draft, and they took Troy Aikman. Then in the supplemental draft, they used a first-round pick on Steve Walsh, mm-hmm. even though they had already taken the number one pick as Troy Aikman. And that means you give up next year's number one pick. Well, guess what? The Cowboys went 1-15, which means they gave up another number one overall pick for Steve Walsh. So in the same draft, the Dallas Cowboys used two number one overall picks mm-hmm. on quarterbacks. That's insane.
Yeah.
And I feel like not enough people talk about that.
Yeah. Steve Berline. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, one more. Overreaction or reality, bringing in Kirk Cousins or Mac Jones makes more sense for the Browns than drafting another quarterback.
Okay.
Do you want both of them so you can have every quarterback again?
All the quarterbacks. Yeah, sometimes I do.
Okay. Well,
from the 214, we knew ball. That's why the Cowboys did that. They were like, we know ball.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say. If you only have one number one overall quarterback, you have no number one overall quarterback. What? How? I did not realize the Cowboys had this many quarterbacks. Like, they just keep coming in. Mm-hmm. You might have played part of a third quarter in a preseason game, and they're
Rodney
like, I got gotcha. You.
Yeah, I texted the wrong
Rodney
person back
Pete.
On accident and said yes because the Tolos are the ones texting in all these names. So
yes.
And so, yes, I do find it entertaining.
Well, if it's because somebody was agitated, I'm with you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, good timing, actually, because coming up next, we might fire up a little Forgiveness Friday, or we will talk with the Ring of Honor, maybe and, forever Women's World Champion and Metroplex native Athena. All of it coming at you. And Alec Medford is here next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Taco Bueno in Arlington. Off of North Collins, And interestingly enough, we're only about a mile away from the Esports Stadium. And starting tomorrow, what is essentially a month-long run of AEW Collision at the Esports Stadium in Arlington. And with that in mind, we bring in the Ring of Honor for...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ever Women's World Champion and Metroplex native, ladies and gentlemen, it's Athena.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. So now, very kind of you.
Athena, I might have made a mistake by pointing this out to you.
Mm-hmm. You did.
I put it. You are the forever Women's World Champion. Yes. You've now been world champion for more than 3 years.
Yes.
But I put quotation marks.
Why?
Around,
but why did you? Why?
I.
Why?
Why did you show it to her?
Why?
That's the thing I want to know.
No, I mean, here's the thing. He didn't even have to show me that he put it in quotes.
It was like he did on purpose.
He could have just been like, yeah, you're the forever champ because you've been champion for over 1,100 days. But instead, you had to be forever. Like, what is this? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Explain yourself.
I have been told that I'm not smart. So whether it's by my coworkers, my wife, I sometimes I say and do things that I wish I hadn't.
You shouldn't have done that.
So hold on, I'm going to resend this to myself and get rid of the
so
quotation
much.
Marks.
Thank you so much.
All right, and I know we got a lot to talk about with AEW, but I want to actually talk about something else for just a second. The last time we had you in studio, it was the weekend of Who Runs the World 2.
Yes.
Can you tell us how you thought that went from a match perspective? I know the gate was already sold out, pay-per-view. how did it feel once it was over?
I slept for like 3 days, I think, because I was so stressed out just trying to make sure everyone had a great opportunity, a great showing. We had amazing venue providers in Southern Junction, and we will be returning there again. So you guys get to see all the ladies come out of the Alamo, which everyone loved.
It's a cool venue
it's
for that.
It's such a cool venue. But we will be returning. That's TBD on that, though.
Okay.
But I will be making an announcement tonight. I believe at Metroplex Wrestling.
Ooh, okay.
But yeah, it was awesome. All the ladies killed it. We were so thankful to have like Chris Statlander,
the AEW Women's World Champion.
Yes, the AEW Women's World Champion. Not forever.
Correct.
Not forever. TBD. But yeah, we had just an amazing roster with a whole bunch of ladies that made sure that event was successful, and they worked so hard for it. So I'm immensely happy for each and every one of them, and I only look forward to producing more for their success.
So how different, for people listening, is the experience of, you know, being a talent for so many years? I don't want to say just a talent, because obviously that is so difficult, but you know what I'm saying? Like, and to kind of transition from, hey, I'm a talent for all this other time, but like tonight, this is my baby as a producer.
I think the easiest way of putting it is, as a wrestler, when you have a disagreement with someone, you can just kick them in the face and not have to ask them, like, oh my gosh, do you care if I hit you as hard as I can? And as a business owner and as a promoter, you kind of have to make sure those people want to come back and they have a great opportunity and that they feel loved and respected, which is the new part, because I don't like people.
I'm with you. Yeah.
What's the thing that irritates you the most about people?
Ooh.
Just people.
Yeah, I
people
get that.
People being people. I think a lot of it is, when it comes to my students, I don't like excuses. And I feel like sometimes everyone has to justify, like, hey, guys, I parked the car in backwards because my truck is so big. I'm calling out so many people in Texas right now. Mm-hmm. My truck is so big that I have to inconvenience the entire parking lot just to back in, even though I could have just whipped it in there the front way. So it's just the irritations and the excuses of the day.
I put quotation marks around.
Quotation. Yeah,
Tim,
he has a truck and backs his truck in.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's okay. It's a smaller truck though. So, but
So that's not even a good excuse. Like, at least the big.
I just like to get out of the parking lot fast. So that's a
okay. I'm with you. Everyone. I will say at least a tiny bit of credit. He can do it the first time. It's the person who has to stop and back mm-hmm. out that I'm like, I'm gonna honk at you.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just going to honk at you. Like that's just it. It's just like, why'd you? No, I just wanted to drive through. Normally, I'm not even parking there. I'm just cutting across the parking lot, and now I gotta stop.
Yeah, but I also am the person that if I am driving and I see somebody in the rear view, I'm gonna do it anyway. But I'm gonna just do it faster. I'll do it a little bit faster. But I'm definitely gonna do
it. See, that's what I expected.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get out of your way.
Man, I'm saying no. So now we're 0 for 2, Alec. Ooh. I was inconsiderate. Corey was inconsiderate. Athena's really considerate, so
I
feel like it's up to you right now to save this.
So it feels like if I'm taking the Athena route, I have to kick both of you in the face move about my day and kind of take command of this interview.
Yes, only if you're a wrestler, though. Like, if you're off duty, that might be assault.
Yeah, that's a good point. And this is
an interesting point about balance. Like, in your real life, you're like, God, I wish I could just hit that person with a chair.
There have been times.
But that will end me being in jail, so. So,
radio hose punches somebody in face for no reason.
Yeah, yes. Look, years ago, a wrestling company that's like local. Obviously, you have a lot of affinity for local wrestling. They asked if I could come out and like do some announcing for them. I was like, yeah, that would be awesome. And then they said, also, could we put you through a table? I was like, hell yeah, you can put me through a table. Yep. And then corporate said, hell no, you cannot be put through a table.
Is that mythical boss I always yell at when I come in?
Yes.
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 We're gonna have to talk to him. He always like hides when I come in, too. I feel like he's never around.
He was here
earlier,
and then he left right before he got here.
He's afraid.
Okay, that part is not true. Don't bury him like that. It is right about the other stuff when you're at studio, but he really wasn't here today, so... We're getting ready. The first episode of Collision is tomorrow at the Esports Stadium in Arlington. Mm-hmm. You can go to etix.com or aewtix.com. This is the second time, at least the second time, that y'all have done a residency at the Esports Stadium. And obviously, AEW and Ring of Honor have made a ton of stops in the Metroplex over the last 7 years or so. You're from here. What is it that makes this area such a desirable place for wrestling and wrestling fandom?
The people, of course.
Yeah, the people that you don't
like. The people that I don't like, of course. Well, I mean, I like them when they cheer for me. I call them my minions. I mean, they're not just people. They're part of the minion mafia. You know, it's right there to the heart.
Right.
No, but like the people here, right? Like I think a lot of us with Texas wrestling have some like affinity from growing up, from the world class days down at the Sportatorium to professional championship wrestling to XCW in Denton to so many countless others that are still in the area to my company, Metroplex Wrestling.
Right.
You know, like it's just kind of ingrained in us. Like I remember when I was a kid, like watching wrestling was up there with religion and chores. Like if you were watching wrestling, you didn't have to wash dishes. So that's
I
love that.
So
idea.
You became really good at knowing who Skandar Akbar was, who the Von Erichs were,
Iceman
who
King
Dusty,
Parsons,
and all the roads were. Like that's where it's really the heart of Texas wrestling. But like it's just been ingrained in us in so long. We know what we love, we know what we hate, and we don't like the bullcrap. See, I censored myself. I'm getting better at these guys.
We have somebody else on from your company who currently is your world champion in AEW that did not always censor himself.
Look,
I
tried.
I get that.
You
he
just had to give
good.
Me one warning.
Okay,
you know?
That's true.
I got it.
Was there a particular moment? I know you talk about all of the greats that have been from this area, but I remember very vividly, this was a long time ago, sorry, it was with another company, but Bret Hart had just beaten Bob Backlund on an episode of Superstars, like Saturday afternoon. And then Bob Backlund's talking to the announcer, and then he flips out and puts him in the crossface chicken wing. And I was like, hold on, why did he do that? And so, like, that was the moment that I always think about that. I was like, I'm in. I am in. Is there, like, a particular moment?
I always say this, right? Like, I feel like from a very young age, because of how I got, like, super obsessed with pro wrestling, was I got bullied nonstop. And I would watch like SmackDown or Velocity or Heat.
And Velocity is a good pull right there.
And I would be like, man, they get to say what they want to say. They get to do what they want to do. And I'm going to school and getting shoved in a locker and being told to shut up and that I'm not good enough. And like, I wanted the opportunity to at least defend my beliefs, to defend like my opinion of Batman's the best superhero versus, you're dumb. Here's a locker, you know? And so like, I found like a very personal relationship. Like, but I also understood you couldn't have The Rock without Stone Cold. You couldn't have Taker without Paul Bearer. You know, you couldn't have the Hurricane without Rosie and Miss Molly.
What's
and
up with
like,
that?
Mighty Molly. But like, I loved every little bit of right. the characters and the details, and they could just say what they wanted to say and do what they wanted to do. And yes, it's another company, but it's something that was ingrained in my life so much as a kid, like as I was growing up, becoming a young adult. Like I remember being obsessed with Beth Phoenix. Like
sure.
I love Beth Phoenix and Mickey James and like countless others. And then I found Shimmer Women's Wrestling.
Yeah.
And then I was like, my mind was blown because now I'm seeing Natty Neidhart before she got signed to WWE. I'm seeing women like Mischief, Sarah Del Rey from Ring of Honor, and I can go on countless names that you guys should all look up because they're all phenomenal women. That
the Minnesota
have really
Homewreckers. Yeah, I'm with you.
The Jumping Bomb Angels then popped into my life.
Yes.
The Glamour Girls from 80s, Bull Nakano. And it was just this wide like opening of this massive encyclopedia that never ends when it became like pro wrestling and what you could learn and how it influenced me.
So I know it was different in places like Shimmer where it was always taken pretty seriously, but you mentioned Bull Nakano, and I think about how much does it mean to see the change in the seriousness in which everybody takes women's wrestling? Because, like, you go back, Bull Nakano, I'm sorry, I'm going to nerd out, SummerSlam 94 against Alundra Blaze, they're like, oh, if she gets a pile driver on her hair, is it going to break her hair, you know? And it didn't necessarily go with a championship match. How big has that evolution meant to you and honestly all wrestlers in general to see how much more serious people take this now?
I think it's really cool because I remember like when I was growing up, there was a questionable era of pro wrestling. We don't have to get into details about
sure.
it, but it involved gravies and a pool on the side of a stage for some reason. But like I remember just loving even that aspect of pro wrestling
sure.
because it was like, I get to see Jazz try to beat up Jacqueline. Who cares if there's gravy? You know, like, you know, two of the best women's wrestlers, like, at that time, in my opinion,
yeah.
or just going out, and I'm like, yeah, they're hitting each other, you know? But like, when you look at how that has shifted in more of a serious tone, more of a competitive tone, and now not only are there women on the show being taken seriously, there are women on the show that are stealing the show, and that's the mm-hmm. only match you're talking about.
Yep.
Like Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter, they beat the tar out of each other, and I was on the side of the stage, and they may have escorted me out because I wasn't really supposed to be there screaming like a maniac, but like I got to see two of these strong, powerful women that they're not as good as me, okay?
Sure.
Let me say that first and foremost.
No
but
quotations.
Like, I got to see these two women just beat the tar out of each other and hearing a whole arena filled with thousands of people chanting for them because of the art that they're creating in the ring. Like, that's really cool to me, man. And that's a match that, like, when you look at everything that happened, like, MJF won the title. Like, so many things happened in that night. But the only thing I remember is Chris Statlander on the top rope, like, and then she did a twisty doodah of a bam from the top to the ground, and I was just screaming. And then they were like, Athena, you have to leave. And I was like, fine.
So I know we talked about this off air once before, but that moment with you, and I know there's been so many more moments since, but the one I think about is you hit your finisher on Asuka in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and it looks like that's the end of. Can you hear those gasps in that moment, or are you too focused?
You can feel the anticipation, like in it, and it's really weird because it's a very out-of-body experience at times because, like, the reason why I love Texas and the reason why I love Texas crowds, and I'll say this, like, the anticipation and the excitement that you can feel, it's like an electricity, right? And you can feel that, like, the tea kettle is about to start whistling. Like, it's just, you feel that energy. And I don't think there's any place.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I know better than Texas, maybe because I'm born and raised from Garland, went to UTA, went
Somebody,
to
Somebody, by the way, just said, oh, this is my first time to see Athena on camera. She's stunning. Too bad she went to Lakeview Centennial. So, man, they're bringing the heat.
Oh, wow.
That person, I've got their phone.
Did I just catch a stray and a compliment at the same time?
About your high school.
You know.
We've got their phone.
I can't even relax anymore. I was like, hi. Oh.
Find them.
A backhanded comment. Where'd you go? South Garland. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. We all
see,
know
she didn't
South
say
Garland.
My school. Yeah. I went to North Garland.
Who?
Mm-hmm. I said, at least you didn't say
where,
my school.
Where was that now?
North Garland.
Who? Yeah.
I mean, I went to Lakeview as well.
I will say, I think North Garland was always kind of the most obscure out of the Garland schools.
North Garland Raiders?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Raiders?
That's right.
Yeah, see? Yeah, I kind of remember
y'all. Were the
y'all.
Patriots?
Yes, mm-hmm. Patriots. We beat quick. Y'all, I'm pretty sure, almost every
So can I tell you a story about that? It was either my junior or senior year in high school. We scheduled Lakeview Centennial. I was in the drum corps for homecoming. You schedule the team on homecoming that theoretically
you
think
be a
you
win.
Think, no, yeah. Lakeview did not do that at all. I don't know if they do that at all.
Lakeview was 0-7 going into that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown and proceeded to annihilate us. It was like 42-7. And I was like, what the hell's happening? So
we always went up against like Garland or South Garland. So I was a cheerleader in high school. And I just remember being like, why do we do this? Like, we lose to them every year. Like, we don't just lose because we had to play each team twice.
Right.
We don't just lose. Like, you start questioning what sports are. Like, maybe reading, speed reading might be good for us next year. Like, that's how badly we got beat. And, like, every year it'd be like South Garland. And and as a cheerleader, too, they had the ones that did, like, NCAA. So they're doing, like, we just lost on every accord. Like, we couldn't even, like, cheer. Like, we're like, yay.
Everybody's pinching.
They're coming
up
here, flipping, throwing some girl in the air. She does two backflips. And they're like, and clear. And I was like, wow. Like,
also, it's 28-0.
You guys did so great. So, like,
and
I
that
get
drove
that.
You to go off to the top rope since then.
Yes.
There you go.
That is that my hatred for the Bring It On style high school games. Yes. No. Like, honestly, like, I wanted to be a wrestler since I was in middle school. Like, that's when I started getting really into it, into the stories, into the characters. Like, that was me. Like, and I feel like it shaped my whole life in a different way that I wasn't really expecting, you know?
And you were just talking about something that I think is, I mean, and Alec loves wrestling. We've pushed Corey into wrestling quite a bit.
I can honestly say this. The Von Erichs as a child got
yes.
me. Stacy Keibler as a 20-year-old got me.
Look, you talked about the era of wrestling that perhaps we're forgetting.
Yeah, that's
for
the one.
Some
no, that's
teenage
exactly
boys.
The one you're talking about. It brought me back. And then what's happened to me since, though, has been this show and having these interviews. The people that I've been able to meet, the people, including the things that they do on that big stage, that's the thing that I've been just like so fascinated by is seeing the type of people you actually are. Behind, you know, whenever
nice
you take it back a little
and
bit.
And angry all the time. So
I mean, it makes for a great persona for
like,
sure.
Like I think the one thing that really brought me was Cody Rhodes drove up to our studio by himself one night when we were in night show. And I was like, what just happened? Like, this dude just came up here out of nowhere. And Kevin was like, yeah, man. And it was wild.
He didn't have anybody with him. It was just him. And this is when he was doing his indie tour with, like, the list and everything. And he just sent me a text. And he goes, hey, I'm here. Yeah. I was like, oh, Cody Rhodes just texted me.
Yeah, and I just think that like it's some of the coolest people that we met in this industry.
Yeah.
We get to talk to so many different people, and the wrestlers are my most fun.
If it makes you guys feel any better, I'm still like that to this
good.
Day. Like,
I texted you after our last interview. You were super nice. So, yeah.
My wife saw nice. Your first interview, and she was like, well, I'm obviously a fan of her now. She was like, she's amazing. So,
oh,
yeah.
See, I don't really go into anything thinking anything of myself. I know that sounds weird because I'm this larger-than-life persona, the Minion Overlord, Fallen Goddess, American Joshi, all that jazz. Like, but, like, honestly, when I go into, like, interviews and stuff, I just want to be an authentic version of me.
Yeah.
That's it. And because I am terrible at lying, Billy Starks will tell you that in a heartbeat, which is why I'm so blunt. It's like, there's not really a lot to hide behind except yelling at people, you know?
So,
you just gotta let them know.
Yeah, yes. For sure. You were talking about something that I'm always fascinated by, and I feel like that's something maybe you're just born with it, maybe you learn it as you continue to wrestle, but you use the teapot analogy.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to know, wait, not yet. Like, I know you think you're supposed to take the teapot out. Not yet. Like, in terms of the crowds,
I don't know. Like, Texas is very unique because I've spent most of my career in Texas. Like, I started learning how to wrestle in Mesquite, Texas with Skandar Akbar, went down to Houston, trained with Booker T, drove to Arkansas, trained with Rodney Mack and Jazz for a while, but trained with Monty Brown and Lance Hoyt for a while
Pounce.
As well. And, yeah, I used to do a pounce until I realized I'm not big.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like, I had this, like, just all these amazing people willing to help out my career, but like, each one of them is like, you have to listen. And like, it's really hard to describe, like, when you know that teapot is going to boil off, because like, you can't have the water on low. You have to have it at a right temperature. You don't want the tea kettle to get so hot that now that burnt metal smell is in the water. Yes, I cook with the metal one. My grandmother gave it to me. All right. And like, there's just an art to boiling water perfectly for tea as well.
Right.
But like, it's kind of the same thing. You have to kind of nurture it, make sure it's not too hot, make sure that if you're steeping tea as it's getting to boil to enhance that flavor, you've done that right. And it's just like, when the top blows and it's that perfect moment, like, It's very rewarding.
Yeah.
It's very fun, but it's really hard to describe outside of me making a very poetic analogy.
It's experience, so, Kevin. It's experience.
Yeah.
Just knows.
I want to point
travel
out.
Travel down these roads.
Alec Medford right here is our producer down at the end. This is actually his day off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's here.
Welcome.
I would
Thank
love
you.
To tell you he's here to talk to us, but realistically, I think he's here to talk
okay,
to you.
Okay.
Look at this. Getting the special treatment already.
Undivided attention, sir.
I feel honored. Thank you. I'm not going to put anything in quotations either. I wanted to ask.
Okay.
I wanted to ask a little bit.
All right.
He never would. He's always said that.
Thank you.
A little bit more, kind of in the same vein of the teapot method that we're talking about here. The giant venues are cool. You know, I was at All In Texas, and I've been to multiple WrestleManias, and hearing the roar of the crowd, like the sound wave that hits you when you walk in the door, is cool. But I was at the Ring of Honor tapings at the Esports Arena last year,
mm-hmm.
and you can hear everything. Because it's a way more compact, intimate venue. And, you know, I yelled at MXM, hit the pose, and they hit the pose. You know, and like stuff like that. I love the more intimate experience in wrestling, and do you think there's a benefit to that whenever you can kind of get those more personal interactions? Like, it is cool to have 40,000 people in an arena, you know, at a stadium. That's really cool. But I do like when you can have those personal interactions where somebody's yelling something stupid at you, using more quotation marks, and you tell them to shut up. Like, I think
do it all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like, so, this happens every day.
Yes.
Every day.
Every day.
So what I'll say is this. It depends on the day of the week.
Sure.
There are times where you go from big arena to big arena to big arena and you crave like the intimacy. And normally that's when you'll see me start messing around with people in the front row. Like, I'll be like, hey, your hat's stupid. Like, you know, something like that. But like, it's like, some days of the week you want that big crowd feel. You want to wrestle in a stadium. You want to just feel the like wave that is the crowd. But in that same breath, like, when you wrestle in bigger arenas, and I don't know if I should say this, you can't hear the crowd until like they're done.
Yeah.
Like, because the sound travels up. So normally by the time you hear something, it's the end of it.
That's what I loved about Reunion Arena. That that roof was so low. That sound.
Yeah, so like
it stayed on top of.
Yeah.
In Globe Life, like one just nervous to hell. The roof is like enclosed, but it's still really high. I just remember like the 1-2-3 happened when I got the win there, and I go, yeah, and I didn't hear anything. And I go, are they upset? And then also you're like, and then like, so if you like see me, it's like 1-2-3, and then like I'm like, yeah, and then there's a moment where I'm like, oh no. And then I'm like, oh okay. But like I love independent wrestling. I love local wrestling for that, very much so, that intimacy, right? And I feel like independent wrestling fans and local wrestling fans that go week by week, especially with my experience with running MPX and stuff like that, like there's an intimate family feel there. Like we have a core group of like 80 people that come every week. Like we have extras too. You're more than welcome to come. But like every week we have that core group of 80 people that are just so invested, and they're like, oh, I saw Maya World wrestle here and now she's on TV, right? And like there's a different intimacy to the smaller venues, kind of like what you said. Like the Esports Arena is like great for me because one, I see all 70 of our regulars in there as well, and like people I haven't seen in years that have been to several shows. I remember there are like this guy and his three kids. They've been watching me wrestle forever, and I've seen the growth from one kid
wow,
to three.
That's cool.
You know, like, yeah. You know, and you're just like, wow, like this is just kind of a family community, and it's a vibe. It's a lot different. I love the Esports Arena because it has a stadium feel, but with the intimacy of like what we would call like a house show or a live event, if you will. And it's so cool to be able to like have like a merging of both worlds. And I hear this year it's going to look even cooler. Ooh. I haven't been yet, but I already heard the setup's going to look a little bit different. It's going to be awesome.
Well, how much do you like this date structure then as well? Because
man, let me tell you how much I love this date structure.
You get this
Saturday.
I get
to drive to work and drive and sleep in my bed. It's going to be, it's magical. Guys, I got a Sleep Number bed. It's beautiful. No, it's really cool to be able to go and drive home and sleep in your bed and be like, oh, I don't have to deal with TSA. You know, they always want to check out my precious here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every week, if you ever see me at an airport, it's normally this, and it's me hoping to the travel gods that my bag doesn't get pulled.
Right.
And it's just, please don't just, you know, we got pre-check for a reason, and they pulled it, and then they're like, this you?
Yeah.
This, you're so sure. You're so sure. That, are you sure? And then it's like, it happens more than you would think, guys. They're laughing, and I'm like being 100% serious.
I believe
like,
yeah, yeah.
You're just a little old thing. And then they'll pull it out, and then they're like, you mind if we take some, like, pictures? And I'm like, yes, my flight board's in five. Yeah. Okay, no, take your photos.
Mm-hmm. Sign this release. I'll hit you with my flip stunner.
And then they're like, hey, I just got to show Joe at the front. Okay.
No, you don't.
Tell Joe I said hi. Now Joe wants to come back. I thought that was you. It's 4 a.m. It's 4 a.m., Joe. But you know what? It's really cool that people get excited. But I like driving home.
Well, and it's and it kind of reminds me of that indie vibe that you were describing, because it's tomorrow. It's the 10th. It's the 24th. It's the 31st. So essentially, it's 4 out of the 5 Saturdays this month. And so I'm intrigued by the makeup of the audience, and if you'll be able to be like, all right, here's my 125 people to go along with another 1,500 that change out every week.
It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. But like the one thing that is remains constant is that the crowds are always awesome here.
Yeah.
And like this, like people will say like, oh, Denton's a wrestling town, Houston, San Antonio. No, Arlington, Texas is a wrestling town. Like we are the entertainment capital of the Metroplex. I'll say it. No one else will. We got a little bit of everything and some good food on top.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And back to the TSA thing. How do you think Mercedes has been dealing with that the past couple of years?
Oh,
that's got to be miserable.
Bless her.
Yeah. That's got to be miserable. But she's a couple belts lighter now. So
let me tell you. I could have helped her.
Mm-hmm.
MIT could have helped Mercedes Moné. You know, she just didn't lock in. Every step of the way, I had her back. She didn't have mine the first match. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about that like we don't talk about Bruno. But, like, to see someone's downfall.
So sweet.
It's just a chef's kiss on some level. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's just a tear comes to my eye. She changed the world of women's wrestling. She did. She went around the world. She got a lot of people recognition that they do deserve. You got to see a lot of new people, a lot of new faces that you never heard of, fresh new up-and-comers that will eventually be signed and will eventually be on your TV. And she deserves all the credit in the world for bringing eyes on those companies. However, I enjoy a little bit of a downfall. Like it's like watching an episode of Maury.
Oh,
and they tell you that he's not the father, and then the girl just, like that's what I'm looking forward to. She hasn't quite hit that, but oh boy, will I be there with a camera phone. Like, yes, queen, run.
Were you ever curious on those Maurys when they're like, I'm 100% he's the father? Shouldn't they have said like, I'm like 98% that he's the father, just in case, the little wiggle room.
I love it. It's just going to be a beautiful moment, you know? And you know what? If she still needs help, I am a generous woman. Mm-hmm. I am a generous forever ROH champion, you know? We will accept her into MIT as a minion. You know, she can be her own little CEO, a minion. She can have her own little clique. But, you know, I'll get her a jersey and we can put a little dollar sign on the back of it. It'll be cute, y'all. Mm-hmm.
Does it maybe not seem that you're more likely to now be across from her in the ring as opposed to her being on your side?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay.
No. Oh. Here's the thing. If she wants to step up, I'll knock her down. That's it. And right now, I don't think she's mentally at the point where she can handle being beat again. And honestly, I would love to do it. But you know what? We don't like to, what's the word I'm looking for? Kick somebody while they're down.
Right. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah. And as much as it's fun. Another opportunity to challenge Mercedes Moné for any championship, whether it be my Forever ROH championship, whether it be the CMLL championship that she has. Like, I would relish in any of those opportunities because she is considered to be one of the best in the world. I just know I'm better than her.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Collision, AEW Collision, tomorrow at the Esports Stadium in Arlington, etix.com or aewtix.com. And if you're worried about tomorrow, I've got great news for you. They're also going to be back the next Saturday, the 10th and the 24th and the 31st. It is the residency here in Arlington for AEW Collision. Athena, you, as always, are awesome.
That's not in quotes, is it?
That is great. That is great.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, whatever.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.